Well, how do you explain Jesus picking Peter as a leader and his apostles? How do you explain that then? Didn't Jesus, in a sense, see that there was a need for someone to be kind of part of the apostles and part of the group to be a little bit of a leader?
That's the interpretation that can popularly come down. But at the time when he says it to Peter, this is one of the classic of the synoptic gospel Jesus. He says, upon this rock I will found my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's like, well, what are the gates of hell for? The gates of hell are to keep the evil in, right?
Evil in and good be separated, right?
Yeah.
I think it means that the church will be able to keep people out of hell. I think that's what that interpretation is.
That's the interpretation, but that's not what it says. The gates of hell will not prevail against this rock upon which I will found my church. This is going to break down the gates of hell. If the rock is going to break down the gates of hell, presumably that's going to let evil out.
I don't think that's what it means. I mean, that's your interpretation, but
well, yeah, definitely. But that's what I'm saying, that you have to watch, to me, in the synoptic gospels, you have to watch what Jesus is actually saying. Because it's very fine-tuned. Yoo-hoo when she gets going, or when God's giving her help, like, hey, how about this one? It's like, oh yeah, they're all evil, they'll go for that. They will read that and say, the gates of hell will not prevail against Peter. This is good, you know? And they'll stick with that for like 2,000 years. And it's like, this guy is going to break down the gates of hell and let all of the evil out?
That's not what I mean, though. I don't believe that.
Okay. I think God allowed that because he knew that people wouldn't do it for that reason. They wouldn't say, yeah, let's have a church. Let's have a church founded upon this rock, and it will break down the gates of hell. Because they're good people. Everybody reads Matthew, Mark, and Luke and sees absolutely nothing but good in what Jesus says. And never really looks at what he says.
I know, but you're interpreting this very fundamentalist in a way that I don't think that's how it played out. I mean, if you look how the early church formed, with the apostles and the people who believers and listened to Jesus were the early Christian community. This was, let's say, the early church, which continued on. So, you know, I think if you looked at it as a whole, you're saying you look at the Bible as a whole, I think part of the whole is if you read Paul, and you're reading Paul now, right? Reading the letters, you'll see that the church is part of this community that's followers of Christ. And I think that Paul in any way means it to be letting hell or breaking into hell. I don't interpret Paul that way.
No, but Paul was an interpreter. I think
right.
that was God's wild card. With Yoo-hoo was that he brought, here's Jesus and here's his 12 disciples. Who's going to be the one that takes over after he's gone? And Yoo-hoo, is looking at across the 12 of them going, I can work with any one of these guys. this is a no-brainer because, I can do this one with this guy, I can do this one with this guy, I can do this one. It's like, and it's got to be one of them. Because it's his 12. It's like Jacob's sons. It's like which one is
tribes,
which one of the 12 tribes? And she's going like, I don't get it. This has got to be like a trick question. And it was. God gave it to Paul. I didn't say it was going to be one of them. Went to this guy on the road to Damascus. I know him. I know what he thinks. And he's not going to see evil in any of it. And he didn't. There was no question about it. Paul, if you read his commentaries, Jesus was absolutely perfect.
But aren't you saying you read the Bible as a whole book?
Yeah. And
So you're excluding Paul. You're saying, no, Paul is not. He's not really part of that book. He's not part of the story. Is that what you're saying?
That's an interesting one. because, you know, if you're talking about scripture,
right.
In Judaism there's a difference between scripture and commentary. The books of Moshe are scripture, Maimonides is commentary. The Jews are looking at Christianity and going, Paul's a commentator. Jesus was the prophet.
Right.
And these are his gang of friends. What? Why are you even talking about his gang of friends? That's not how it works. A prophet is a prophet. So it changed the complexion of everything. Am I answering your question, or?
I don't see how it what you're saying, because you're debunking the Vatican, debunking the church, the Pope, and all this stuff, right?
Not necessarily. Which, I think it serves its function. I would certainly rather watch the ceremony from St. Paul's on Christmas than my traditional observation of Christmas of going over and opening presents at my parents and sitting around drinking and eating a lot of turkey. I think what's going on at St. Paul's is far closer to God than Santa Claus.
Right, watching it on TV?
Yeah. Anything having to do with the Pope. He came to Canada over the summer. I don't know if you guys heard. And followed it, you know, with rapt attention in the newspaper. He's a Marianist. He's, you know, really believes in Mary as, you know, that's always troubled me about the church. It's like, fine to have Mary as part of the story, but Jesus has got to be here. The more you keep trying to move her up next to him or above him, I think you get into problems, personally. Which is why in the Quran, you know, Jesus is always called the Son of Mary. Jesus bin Maryam. God knew that she was the one. The women were always looking for, well, where are we in this story? Mm-hmm. I certainly appreciate that, the Torah, the Gospels, and the Quran. This is all well and good, but where are the women? And it's like, the earth, the living thing inside the earth that thinks it's God, is the woman in the story. And everything else comes out of that. My take on it.